The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all of the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats, so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed.
Thanks. Great job, by the way. So we are continuing a series through the book of Acts. Let's just do a quick little bit of review. Acts was written by a guy by the name of... Come on. Luke, who said that first? Right. Not you. Not you. Who said it? We're gonna be tossing candy here today. Well, Jake, I'm going to owe you one by the end of this thing anyway, so let's just start there. Who said it first? Jim. All right. Oh, very good. Good catch, buddy. So, written by the guy by the name of Luke to somebody named... Thank you, in the back. Ah, that's 2 points. So maybe it's maybe even three. I'm not sure. How's that work? Okay, sure. Yeah, we give out points pretty freely here. So it's worth 1,000 points. Yeah. And so it's a story of the early church. These are people that have, they've seen Jesus risen from the dead. And now this new community is starting to form. And they're meeting in Jerusalem, and God's been doing some very powerful things in their midst. He has sent the Holy Spirit. And they're starting to see miracles happening. And we end up with this kind of short passage that that marks a bit of a shift in the storyline of the book of Acts. And even though the passage isn't that long, and maybe if we could just have the verses just up on the screen throughout, that'd be great. Have you ever had a time in your life where it just seemed like everything clicked? I mean, probably a short season, but yeah. But this time where you just go, okay, I really feel like I'm sensing God's leading and guiding and presence, and stuff just sort of goes right. I got to tell you a story about the call of God and the transmission of my car. That sounds as random as the couch story, but I just started in youth ministry. It was 1993, and a church in Yakima had just asked me to come on staff part time as a music and youth pastor. Initially it was just for music. Come and be our music director. And oh, by the way, could you teach Sunday school? And hey, let's form a youth group. You know, that's how it works. And so I was being paid $400 a month, and I was living in the basement of a member of the church. It's ministry, it's glamorous, and it was my life. And now I don't blame the church. I mean, that wasn't very much money. But, I mean, the church didn't know whether I was any good at ministry. And, frankly, I didn't either. So we were in good spots, I suppose. Well, about a month and a half into this thing, I was driving back from Sela in my... Well, it was actually the family car that my parents gave to me at that point. It was a 1985 four-cylinder stick-shift Dodge Caravan with a big Mary Kay Cosmetics sticker on the back. This thing was a babe magnet. Not exactly. But it carried lots of music gear, which is why I liked it, right? And this is why I had it and why they gave me this van. And so I was driving back from Sela, and I started hearing this noise in the van that sounded a little bit like a jet engine. Ever heard that kind of a sound in your car? And it's grindy and all metallic, just like a jet engine. And I'm thinking, I'm not feeling the afterburners on this thing kicking in. And it's getting slower, and I'm on the freeway. What's going on? Yeah, so some of you more mechanically minded people realize there's something wrong with the car. So the car ground to a halt, and I got out, and it's this kind of moment where you're going, oh, you know, God, I just moved a long way to do this. And I don't know that much about cars, but I know that transmissions, they're not cheap. So I found a ride, and we did some calling around. We took the van into a shop, and it needed, sure enough, it was a full transmission rebuild was needed. And it was a good shop and everything, and I trusted what they were saying, but it was going to be a lot of money. At this point, it was going to be about 3 months' salary for me to repair this thing almost. And so the next Sunday, I was coming to church, and I was going, Lord, if you're looking to kind of clarify this call, I got a better idea. Maybe we could, have things work for a while. Well, anyways, the senior pastor that day said, just before the service, he said, hey, Andrew, would you go help in children's church? So after you lead the singing, would you go downstairs and help out with children's church? And he was my boss, so I said, sure. So I did that and led some songs, and then went back to go help out with children's church, and, came back and led the songs at the end. And then after the worship service, we were in, the little fellowship hall of the church, and I had that eerie feeling like everybody was looking at me. You ever had that kind of feeling? They're all looking like they know something and you don't know it. Well, so I see everybody kind of looking, and Pastor Joe, the senior pastor, came up and said, hey, I told the congregation about what happened to your car, and we just took up a little offering, and we want to give you this because we know that, this car repair could cost a lot. So, they handed me a check for $1,024.60. Couple days later, I went into the shop, and I got the estimate for the transmission repair. Do you want to guess how much it was? And 40 cents. The church overpaid me. $1,024.40. We were off by 20. And it was just this moment of like, okay, I get it. Maybe you've had moments like that where things just kind of go click. Okay, I get it. It's one of the reasons I loved going to camp, because, it doesn't always happen at camp, but you get this Christian community together, and everybody knows the part that they're supposed to play, and we're just seeking God together and praying together and worshiping together. And sometimes you have this, it usually only lasts like 2 or 3 days before something really stupid happens. But just a little season of time where it's like everything is just perfect. Can we freeze this moment? Everybody is working together. Everybody's on the same page. And I can kind of get how in the New Testament they said how people were sharing things. And, the church was just thriving. Just this little moment. That's what keeps pulling me back to youth ministry and to camp, because I find it there so often. Everybody's working together. Everybody's on the same page. And you experience community like you've never experienced it before. And it's this short little season, and everything clicks. You never had something a little bit like that? You can sort of relate. Whether that's camp or just something in life, everything clicks. I feel sorry for the rest of you. Man, your life just stinks. That's really too bad. We're going to work on that. But you've probably experienced something like that, Stuff just clicks, and it's for a season, and that's exactly what's happening here. Do you remember the story from last week? There was Ananias and Sapphira, and they were trying to pull a fast one on the community. They were trying to put on airs, and what happened to them? Yeah, they died. Kind of gross, morbid and everything. But what it did communicate is to both the church and the people that were watching this developing community, is that this stuff is for real. This Jesus thing is powerful. Don't monkey with it. Respect it. Pay attention to it. And at this point, the church is growing so quickly that, many commentators say that when you include men, women, and children, you're probably talking about a church of about 10,000 people being described here. The kind of core leaders meeting in Solomon's colonnade, but thousands of other people around it. And this is in a city of about 40,000 people. Could you imagine 25% of Wenatchee within about a week, all having this dramatic spiritual awakening? Do you think it would hit the newspaper? Yes, I'm like, no, I've read the Wenatchee World. No, it would. I think it might. Our next door neighbor works for the Wenatchee World. He's a believer. It's awesome. Okay, but We're not dissing the Wenatchee world. Podcast listeners, we are not dissing the Wenatchee world. Okay. So, but it would get attention in that community, and it was starting to do this. And people were watching. And it's a short passage because it only lasted a very short time. And in it we see, where with the apostles, they're performing what they call signs and wonders. Now, what do signs do? They show things. They point to something else. You know, if you've got a sign that says bathrooms this way, that's not actually the bathroom. It's pointing to the bathroom. Important to remember that. You have a sign pointing to a city. It's pointing to the city. Signs. These things, these miracles that show up. And the point of the miracles is to point to something greater. So that people would see, hey, all that, remember that stuff that Jesus did? Oh yeah, I remember that stuff, and he healed people. Well, guess what? It's happening again. And it's not Jesus doing it. It's the people that follow Jesus that are doing it. And, the community starts to pay attention. Woo! Signs and wonders. They point. So the apostles were doing this. They were experiencing that. These miracles were happening in their midst, and they were pointing the community to something greater. It's kind of funny as a Christian where it sometimes seems, and if you've been a believer for a while, maybe you can relate to this. Maybe I'm wrong. I'd love to be wrong. But it seems like sometimes it's right in the most tender, early moments of faith that you see prayer answered most dramatically. One of the things we do at camp, and I love doing this, is one of the nights is we'll get the kids together and we'll say, what I want you to do is for the next half hour, just go off, whether it's in the woods or by the beach, just go be on your own and ask the Lord to speak to you and see what he says. From a speaker's perspective, that's a bit of a risk, because in the back of my mind every now I'm thinking, what if nothing happens? That'd really stink, wouldn't it? Hey, kids, go listen to the Lord. They're like, I didn't hear nothing. You're like, oh, man, well, there was my rhetoric. And so as the kids are going out, frequently that's where I just go on my face before God and just say, God, would you please, this could be their moment. This could be the moment that they experience you and know that you are real. This could be the moment that you break through all the junk in their life and convince them of your love. This could be that moment. Would you show yourself? Please, they need a sign. And every single time, come back with stories. I know there's some stories in the room of teens in the room where that was their moment. They're praying on the beach and they're saying, God, if you are out there, would you please just show me something? And guess what? Something shows. Something happens. Seems like it's at these most tender moments of faith that God chooses to use these signs. Because the signs are designed to point people. These transrational encounters, these miracles, they point people. And for some reason, and this might just be me being a little bit annoyed with the Lord, but sometimes it seems that when we've been a believer for a longer time, it's almost like he lets the lead out further and further, and he calls on us more and more to trust even when we don't see immediate answers. And he's building our faith. I do think that's why he does that. Builds our faith. But this is one of those tender early moments. And God is moving so powerfully in this community. You're seeing healing happen. I got to tell you, as I do like the Bible study and the exegetical Greek stuff, each week trying to, study these passages, the commentators, there's a bit of a spat going on with this passage over the issue of signs and wonders. Saying, was this something that only was for the early church? you know, only so that people could see that these people, these apostles, were called by God? Or is it something that happens on an ongoing basis from time to time? You know? And sometimes it's, anyways, some people will say, no, this stuff, this miracle stuff, this kind of miracle stuff, it died out with the apostles, and we shouldn't expect it today. Anything that's happening today, it's just us either wishful thinking or it's us being deceived. I kind of like to think they're wrong. Now, we don't live in the apostolic era. And you know, the church today, I believe, is going to prove itself not so much by whether or not a lot of miraculous stuff happens in our midst, but whether or not the church as a whole is faithful to Christ. You know, it's the witness of the community of the church. Are we, kind of like in that first song, are we reaching out? Are we loving people? Are we praying for people? I believe that's the greater sign that this world is looking for. They're not so much looking for evidence of God. They're looking to see whether or not that God has made a difference in anybody. You know? Because the skeptics today, like many of you, after the stories that we keep hearing, you know, I was gone for the Lord for 15, 20, 30 years, and I said, I'm going to give you one more chance, because you got so torqued off by what happened in Christian community. By, you know, in this community that was supposed to be nurturing, that was supposed to be loving, that was supposed to be reaching out. And it just turned inward and got all funky and weird. But I do believe that God continues to move today. I know I don't understand it. I know I can't control it. I know that it's not, I've never seen it where, you know, people bring the sick and all of them are healed. But I've seen it where people pray for the sick and it just goes well. And they get better. I've also seen it where you pray and you pray and you pray and nothing happens. And I don't have any answers for that. But I do believe that God continues to move. And I do believe that we are still called to trust the Lord. And just like in these passages, you know, people brought the sick into the streets and they laid them on beds and mats so that they, you know, in this case, it's talking about Peter's shadow. And I don't know whether that's more superstition or just a bizarre way of praying. But I believe as we bring our friends to the Lord, in whatever way we do it, I believe that it can still make a difference. And I believe that whether or not we see the answers in the way that we expect them and want them, you know, that part's up to God. Our part is just to bring them. Just to bring them to the Lord. You have distributed pieces of paper. I got to admit, I had a really neat little idea that I forgot. But I left too early in the morning and it was... Anyways, I just had a brain thingy. There's a can up here that said, God can. Kind of corny, I know. But God can. He put the, so that you could write on the piece of paper, you know, somebody or something that you're entrusting to the Lord and bring it up and put it in the God can. Can. It seemed like a good idea at the time. But you know, maybe the fact that I forgot it, maybe the Lord's in that somewhere too. And I just... You know, I can tell you the story and you can laugh at me and that's great. Go ahead. But really, as we listen to these passages and as we consider, you know, what part of this is for us today? If nothing else, I believe it reminds us that we still need to bring our friends. We still need to bring them to the Lord. You know, as you look in, as you think in your circle of relationships, there are people that are on your heart. Whether it's somebody that's, you know, that's spiritually lost, and they just need Jesus. Or in some, I mean, we have you know, folks in there. I mean, there's people are hurting economically and financially, and they're like, you know, me back in 1993, and they're like, I don't know how this need is going to be met. And they're just hoping that something happens, and we need to bring them to the Lord. We have people represented in our community that are sick. And the Bible says, pray for the sick. Lay your hands on them. Have the elders anoint them with oil and pray that they get better. And, you know, friends, I don't know how God heals and answers, and because he certainly doesn't work on my timeline. But I know it's our job to pray. And it's God's job to do what God does. So I would ask you, and maybe we won't use the God can. You can use it at home if you think it's a cute little idea. How about that? But I would like you, if there's somebody or something that's just on your heart today, and you just want to say, I just want to bring this to the Lord. I just want to bring them to the Lord. Next few minutes, would you just write their name or just a little phrase on there? And later in the service, like when we take communion, just let's come up and let's just lay them on the altar here. Lay them on the table. We're not gonna read them. We're not. This isn't, you know. You can write in Pig Latin if you're nervous. You know, that somebody will clean it up and they'll go, oh my goodness. But just bring our friends to the Lord. And trust that God can move, that he still answers. That whether it's just for a moment or whether it's for a season, that things, they do come together. They do work out. And people that cry out to God, they find him. And people that are on the edge of the, they just feel like they're on the edge of a cliff, that something holds them. God is still moving. So let me just pray, and maybe as I'm praying, we'll have some time of silence in there. If the Lord has just laid somebody or something on your heart, just as an act of trust and devotion, just write it down. God, I just want to trust you with this. And it might be you. I mean, you might be putting your own name on there or your own situation, your own circumstance. God, I've seen in Scripture how you answer prayer, how you show up, how you change lives. Would you change mine? Would you work in this situation? Oh God, I want to trust you. I want to believe that you can. Let's pray together. Lord, thanks for these reminders of times in history where your presence was just so profound. And the answer to prayer was so clear and so real and so tangible. And God, we just ask that as we consider our own situations, that this historical perspective would enable us to trust you too. And so, Lord, we lift up these situations and people that are on our hearts. And even in the act of writing this name, God, we want to trust you. We want to believe that you can. Lord, we pray that this might be a community that, I mean, we're 2,000 years removed from that situation. But we believe and we pray that in some way we would experience a bit of that. That generosity. That kindness. That trust. That we would be just like the people bringing their friends on the street. And it's got to look kind of goofy when you're laying a cot out on the side of the road. God, that we would have that kind of faith. Just whatever it takes. We want to trust you. We want our friends to be changed by you. We want this world to be more like your will, more like your kingdom. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.